Good morning. Morning to you all. And it is a good morning. It is certainly a different morning. You might have worked out that things are a little changed around the place. We are all artworks in our own way, but Malcolm's artworks are a bit special, so please enjoy them now or later on. Right now, don't listen. Don't look at them. Look at me. I've got something. So good morning. There are visitors. We have got people who aren't normally always here. So welcome everybody, even those who are here via the internet. The weather is a current topic. March days for us are apparently set for continued heat, but we do spare a thought. Many thoughts, actually, for those in Queensland and northern New South Wales. Those people, we need to keep them in our prayers. Psalm 150, verse 6. You don't know it? That's okay. Ken's got it here. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Let's say that together. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Okay, I want you to say it again. And I want you to emphasize that word. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. That was good, but let's do it again, emphasizing that word. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. You are getting this. He's got more. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. And there's one more. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. You've got it. You are clever. He's got the whole world in his hands. What an intro to the song. This guy's amazing. Humble too.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the little teeny baby in his hands. He's got the little
You can sit for about 13 seconds, but I'll get you to stand in a minute. We need to point out that there are some songs that we are using today that are a little bit older. So if the words in your head don't necessarily correspond with the words that are up there on the screen, that's okay. Don't feel bad. We're not going to go, he was singing the wrong words, you realise that? We're not going to whisper about you later on, okay? Because that's what happens when some of these songs get passed from collection to collection. They do have a few different configurations of lyrics. But now that you've had 13 seconds to sit, you can stand and greet others, or you can sit and say howdy to other people and enjoy the fact that there are some amazing artworks around the place.
Including you. You'd be pleased to know I'm playing it in the right key.
Yes, everybody's welcome. That's good. Everybody's welcome. If you haven't worked it out, Ken Stigwood has an amazing array of weird critter photos that he brings out at all kinds of times and situations. So if you have got critter photos that you want to share with Ken, he will add it to his compendium of 1,343 or whatever he's got. He is incredible. Oh dear. Let's sing one more song. Now, this is going to be a song where we can't lose. We can't wreck it. King of Kings and Lord of Lords is around. Okay? So we are going to sing it as around. Now, I got to tell you that when you are singing around, whether you're singing the first section or the second section, it don't matter whether you're singing the first the same as the person next to you, because it's all part of the whole thing. So we're going to sing it through once as a round, and then we'll sing it through again in a little bit of a different situation. Let's go. You can stay seated if you want to. Stop there. I didn't tell him to stop because I want to do one other thing. What's going to happen now is that the only sound you are going to hear is the sound of us. There is going to be nothing coming from those little black box on the wall. Okay? So the only sound that you are going to see, oh sorry, the only sound you are going to hear when we are singing is us. Nothing will be coming from out of there, only from out of there, right? So that's a sound of community. In unity. Who writes this guy's stuff? So, what we are going to do is have unity in this song by being different. So in other words, in around, one person, one group will be singing King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the other group will be singing Jesus, Prince of Peace, we'll be singing two different things, but everybody will get along and make perfect music together. And there are people in this world who do. That's like some amazing people who do artwork. But there are people in this world who do this kind of musical creation, which is just amazing, mind-boggling. How clever to actually have two sets of words, all with the same tune, and they fit in together. Let's try it. So what will happen is we'll start singing King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some of these guys will keep on going. They're going to stop playing it. And they'll keep on going straight on to Jesus, Prince of Peace. When we get to the end of the first section of Glory Hallelujah, I will go back to the stop, Tom, and start again, and so you can sing along with me, or you can sing along with these guys, and it will make perfect harmony. It's worth it.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory,
mic on again. Okay, this coming week from our notices, this coming week we have Circle of Friends on Tuesday, so that's 1:30 to 3 o'clock for any women who would love to come and share a cuppa, have a chat. Of course on Thursdays as normal we have Creative Connection, following week we've got the men's dinner group, and 4 weeks from yesterday is our Easter market. I don't want to make you feel bad, but 4 weeks from yesterday, that's our Easter market, April the 5th. And that's our chance to, once again, use that word, show community, show the community what we are doing. Show our community, open up our church, open up our hearts, and for them to come in and support us, and for us to make some conversations with those people in our community. So that's what the market is about. The market is about reaching out into the community, but also raising some funds as well. So that's the 5th of April, Saturday the 5th of April. Right, here we've got now time for Show and Tell, the amazing Lynn and Elton show.
I'm sure by now that you, if you haven't met Lynn, you now have. This is our number two daughter, Lynn, and her number one dog, Elton, whom some of you and many of you have met already. Lynn's going to tell a little bit of her story of herself and Elton, and after that, Ken has some slides that he will show, and I'll make a few comments on them because they relate to the work that Elton and I do in Flinders Medical Centre, which is why I'm dressed as I would if I'm working with Elton, except that I'm wearing a watch. In the hospital, no jewellery below the wrist is the rule, and that relates to infection control, as many of you will be aware. But this is the way he and I go to work on Wednesdays. But Lynn, all yours.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm just going to give you a short introduction to Elton, basically, because obviously Dad's going to talk a lot about his work with him in the hospital. So for those of you who aren't familiar with dog breeds, he's a golden retriever. He's a very white golden retriever. They do tend to range quite a lot from the white through to quite a dark brindle colour. He's 7 years old. For me, dogs have always been a part of my life. Grew up with dogs and cats in the family, and then he's my third dog as an adult. And for me, I really like the unique relationship that you can have with an animal. I love dogs and cats, but I prefer dogs, so dogs it is. Any of you have obviously had pets or have pets will understand that there's a really different relationship you have with an animal than what you have with other humans. So for me, some of the really special things about having a dog are the company, the unconditional love you get from a dog or an animal. They love you no matter what, even if you make them go outside when they don't want to. For me, a listening ear, you know, when you're needing someone to talk to but not really needing feedback, you just need a cuddle, you just need to be with someone and just be, perhaps. For me, you know, a dog really fills that space for me. And I have deliberately chosen a hairy dog because I really like the cuddles. I also find that, certainly with Elton and also with other dogs that I've had, dogs are very intuitive to human emotions, feelings, needs, different situations. They're so perceptive, and I know Dad will talk about some of those kind of things in relation to what he sees at the hospital with patients and staff in different situations. But it's amazing what a dog can sense and just know when you need that pat on the leg or a head on the leg or, you know, a little snuggle. And they just pick it. So I got Elton 7 years ago. He was 12 weeks old. In 2018, I'd just separated from my husband after 29 years. So it was a big life change for me. And my previous dog, that was a Kelpie cross, she had died only about 18 months prior. So I was well and truly ready for another pet. So I sort of, with the new change in my life, really felt that I needed that companion again. So I got Elton. And he really has helped me with, you know, adjusting to a new life, giving me a positive focus when, you know, things are being tough in other situations as well. A motivation, you know, if you've got a pet, it's good because it gets you out, gets you up. You've got to feed them, you've got to look after them, you've got to take them for a walk. And, you know, if you're not feeling great, sometimes that's a really good mental pick-up. To have an animal there that you're responsible for that sort of gives you a project that you're, an ongoing project that you're working on. I met someone down the beach one day walking with dogs and he said, this is my four-legged antidepressant. So, and I thought, well, that's a really good description of a dog. I can agree with that. And I mean, for me, I also have suffered with anxiety off and on over the years. So, yeah, I can attest to the antidepressant nature of a pet, absolutely. So in 2021 for me, just going on from, you know, the features and benefits of a dog, I was diagnosed with cancer, and so I went through treatment over about a 12-month period, and, you know, he was just invaluable for me. It was during COVID, so because I was going through treatment where I was really susceptible to infections, I basically was quarantined at home for many months. So to have that constant companion there with me was just amazing, and you know, made such a difference when you feel like you're just shut in and on your own at times. So when I got Elton, I decided that with his training, I really wanted to hopefully do some kind of therapy dog work with him eventually. I'd wanted to do it with my previous dog, which was a little bit too shy to do it with. So with his training, I made sure I put in all the effort I thought I needed to put in to train him to a point where he would be obedient, reliable, you know, trustworthy with people and other animals. So I socialised him a lot because I really wanted to be able to use him, particularly this breed, because they're known as really good dogs for that type of work. You know, they're guide dogs and other types of therapy dogs as well. When he was about two, I did start volunteering in a local nursing home down at Brighton with him, and I just went in once a fortnight. Again, it was still part of that whole COVID patch, so I had to just go to a single room, visit one person. I wasn't allowed to take him around in the social areas. He wasn't allowed to do, you know, like what he's done this morning with just saying hello to everybody. So it was fairly controlled and structured, but even that little bit that he was able to do really showed the benefit for, you know, people in nursing home, residential care, who, particularly those who don't have family, who aren't mobile, they're pretty much stuck in a room all day and all night. So, you know, to see the smile on their face when the dog walks in, for them to have a bit of a cuddle and maybe sneak some treats to him. One lady had a bag of sweet biscuits, not dog biscuits, but every time we went in, it's like, oh, you naughty boy, you know you want one of my biscuits. So he got some Arnott's, I think, every time we went in. So I needed to stop that because I had got a wrist injury walking the dog because he pulled me over. So I had to stop the nursing home, and then after a little while after that, I started the medical treatment. So the therapy visits kind of stopped. The year that I was having treatment, Mum and Dad had moved down from Queensland, and Dad had started volunteering in the cancer centre at Flinders and just expressed interest in whether I thought Elton might enjoy, be suitable for perhaps doing some dog visits at Flinders. So, we did a bit of training with him, and the rest is history, so to speak. And he does an amazing job up there, which Dad's later on going to tell you all about. So I think that's a basic introduction to the boy, where he's come from and what he does. Now, thanks for having us this morning.
Did you notice when you started clapping, Elton stood up as if to take a little bow? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to all my friends. Okay, guys, should we sing? Once again, a song that we've heard before, and you might know some different words. Be happy to sing them. That's okay. You'll be part of the whole system. That's quite good. It's our community. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, He made the glowing colors, He made the tiny
Today, we're thinking about our friends, our little friends with their four legs. And I say hello to Puppy Dog every Sunday. Reese, who is our resident puppy dog. And now we have Elton, who is our very special visitor and friend puppy dog, who's gone for a walk. So, we should remember that they have been with us a long time. And today, we're going to talk about how God made them in the beginning, just as He made us in the beginning. So we're going to look at a verse from Genesis. It's chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Would you join with me, please? And God said, "Let the earth bring forth creatures according to their kinds, cattle and creepy things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the cattle according to their kinds, and everything that creeps upon the ground according to its kind. And God said that it was good. Then we move a bit further into the book of Job, chapter 12. And this says, "But ask the beasts, and they will teach you. The birds of the earth, they will tell you. Or the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you. And little dogs will lick your face when you're lonely and make you happy. Who among us, these, does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And having said that, Elton is back. Come to see us. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be God.
We got time for a prayer, Colin? Not Marge.
We had to swap last week.
Even better. That was bad.
That's not nice.
Good morning. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Lord God, as we come to prayer this morning, we do so aware that we are entering the period of Lent, a season for focusing on that final journey of Jesus to Jerusalem. So bravely he strode onward, knowing that this was not going to have a happy ending, but prepared for the sake of humankind to see it through. We remember the trials and temptations which he encountered and how he triumphed over all because he trusted that God was ultimately in control. We think of the difficult journeys of life for so many in our world. We pray that in their times of need, they might find discernment to see their way ahead and the strength to overcome, no matter what life throws them. We thank you for brave men and women who speak out against injustice and self-interest, often at great personal cost. Strengthen them and give them courage, we pray, that they might continue to seek the best for others. We pray for the Church Universal and pray that faith may be deepened in this period of Lent. We thank you for the light that shines even in the darkest darkness, to remind us that we can face whatever lies before us, knowing that we are not alone. We have each other and the Holy Spirit who reveals all things to us and empowers us to live to the best. We give thanks for those who share their gifts as they lead our worship week by week. We thank you for their commitment to make our gatherings a time of renewal and re-energizing, so that we, as we enter the week ahead, are inspired to be more like Jesus. May all of us in this time of Lent be able to look at ourselves and to recognize that we do not always listen to your call, Lord, and sometimes we do not get it right. We commit ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, to be the best possible reflection of Jesus that we can be. Lord, we think of troubled parts of the world where there is so much suffering, where darkness prevails and where the light of the Lord seems so far away. We pray for people whose humanity is denied by others, for those without homes and food, for those suffering from malnutrition, illness and disease, for those living in fear of war and conflict. Lord, hear our prayers. Loving God, we ask that you will bless those who volunteer week by week in Pantry 152. Friendly faces, warm hearts, and gentle words make such a difference to those in need. There are many others who volunteer and care both here and beyond this place, and we ask that your blessing will be upon them and those for whom they care. So much would be impossible without these volunteers and carers. As today we welcome Elton and Lynn, we add another word of gratitude. We thank you for the beautiful animals who provide love and solace to their humans, for dogs like Elton who make tough times easier, and guide dogs who make much of life possible for those who are legally blind. And even the tiny kitten or fluffy rabbit whose softness creates a very special bond. Loving God, this week we have celebrated women as we recognise International Women's Day. So many amazing women who have achieved and continue to achieve against difficult odds. So much for the welfare of our society. The road has been hard, but little by little women are being acknowledged and accepted in high places. You have made us all in your image, fearfully and wonderfully made, to be bearers of your love, grace, and hope, and we thank you. Creator and Redeemer, in this world of mixed and changing values, we ask that we might find the wisdom to distinguish between the important and the unimportant, true and false, the trivial and the eternal. Sometimes we do not know which way to turn. There are many claims upon our time, so many demands for our attention. Life pulls us in many directions and presents many possibilities, so that the very range of choice before us can help to confuse rather than clarify. It is then that we need you, for yours is the ultimate claim on our lives. Help us, we ask, to listen for it in the multitude of noise and clamour all around us. Because we cannot do everything, help us to get our priorities right, to know who and what you want us to be right now, and to willingly take your path. And as we seek to be your disciples, help us to see what we do and what we allow your Spirit to do with everything that happens to us, the foreseen and the unexpected, delights and trials, criticism and praise, good fortune and grief, will shape what we are to become. We ask all these things through the blessed name of Jesus, knowing you hear our prayer and answer according to our need. So just take a moment now to lift your personal concerns to God before we share the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Marge. We're going to sing Comfort, Comfort. Comfort is a word that already we have started to use in this service today for all kinds of reasons. Let's sing it through.
Comfort, comfort all my people.
Every mountain shall be low.
Lord, for all the things already mentioned in our worship this morning, music, song, words, significance, animals, we give you our thanks. But we bring our gifts too, symbols of our gratitude for all the material things we are given and the way we can use them to bring honour and healing and purpose to others. Lord, receive our gifts, hear our prayers, which we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am wearing my little bag here, which comes with me when I visit Elton, when I visit with Elton. And he knows, of course, that his dish, which he's been down here sipping, and his bottle of water inside. He knows the sound of a zip. And people are told that that they can't feed him, but I give them a treat, and I say, just hold it out in two fingers and say gentle, and he will take it gently from you. And he's very happy with that. And some of you will have heard some of the stories today, and I'm going to repeat this one because it's worthy of repeating. I was visiting an older gentleman in a wheelchair in the courtyard in Flinders Hospital, and the man's daughter and her twins were there. And the little, you know, only about so big, and the twin boy really took to it, and they got along well, so I gave him the treat and let him go through the process. And then the little girl sitting on mum's lap wanted to do that as well. So I gave her a biscuit and she held it out, and Elton ate it, and she burst into tears and said, "Doggy ate my biscuit." So everything doesn't work out quite the way we plan it. But our dogs, to work in the hospital, they need to be well-trained, quite calm, obedient, and they need to be well-socialised with other dogs. Now, Reese, I think the little yap was "let's play," from what I heard. But when Reese has yapped at Elton, he's just ignored it. He hasn't yapped back. And it's really important in the hospital that when dogs meet dogs, we don't have yappy hour. And when I took him in for his job interview with Megan, our boss, we just talked, and she watched his behaviour. And he did everything right, and at the end she said, "Oh, do you think you'd like a drink?" And so she got a drink and put the dish on the ground and pointed to it, and Elton knew what that signal meant. It means drop. So he dropped. And Megan was surprised that he didn't feel thirsty. But I just wriggled my finger at the dish and, I can have a drink. But Elton has barked in the hospital. The first time he barked, we were up in the rehab wards, and there was a Christmas party out on the deck, and the staff said, come in, so we went in, and Father Christmas came quickly over towards Elton. He had never seen a Father Christmas. And so he went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And Father Christmas was gone. The staff laughed like mad and thought that Elton was a pretty good dog. Another time when he barked, we were having our lunch in the cafeteria. This is where we always start because we meet lots and lots of people. And we were sitting at a table, and a lady came along with a little child in a pusher and a slightly older child. And the slightly older child reached out and was patting Elton. All of a sudden, She reached out, grabbed his face and put her face up against his. Well, Elton gave a rather loud woof and the girl let go into tears. Mother got very cross, not with Elton, not with me, but with the daughter who had done it before. So Mum, I think rather chastened, left. And at the next table, which is about that far away, there was another lady with two children, and she came across and said, "Can we talk to your dog?" And I said, "Yes." And those two children came over and patted Elton and talked to him, and it was as if the previous event hadn't happened. It took Elton quite a while to get used to children because he grew up in a family of adults. So children, what on earth were they? He tended to woof at them, didn't he? And he'd see a child on the front lawn next door and his ears would go up and he'd... But we got over that. But we had some other training that we needed to do for Elton. Went into the hospital and he jacked up and he wouldn't go anywhere and he wouldn't work. Pushed himself up against the wall of the corridor and he creeped along and crept along. And he wouldn't work, he wouldn't do anything. And Lynn came along and we made a little bit of progress, but we had to work over a period of weeks for Elton to become comfortable in the hospital. And then one day Lynn said, "Just let him go and see what he does." So we let him go and he headed down the corridor, hesitated a bit at the sliding door, went through, on he went into a lift, and there was another dog in there sitting looking at him. And it took him a while to work out that every lift he went into, the same dog was sitting there. Now it's no issue with him. I rang Peter, the retired copper who owns Rock, this painting over here, and I said to Peter, "This is what's happened with Elton in the hospital. You know, you've trained police dogs, worked with police dogs. Have you got any clues?" He said, "Sometimes big dogs are very edgy about polished floors." And he told of the time when they were living in Rockhampton and they were called out into the middle of the night in a robbery at a supermarket. So Peter and Rock raced over, went in, roared into the supermarket, and Rock dropped on the floor and he wouldn't go anywhere. And Peter says, "There am I with my dog on the floor and there are kids out the back robbing the joint." But Elton learned his way around. He remembers corners better than I do at times. I'll go around the corner and he'll jag on the lead and go this way and I'll look, "Oh no, we don't go down that corridor, we go this way." He remembers his way around remarkably well. And of course he has his favourite places. I don't know whether any of you have appointments at the pain clinic in Flinders Medical Centre, but you only go into the pain clinic for one reason. And he goes into the pain clinic because he experiences a great deal of love. He loves the pain clinic. Ken, can we have the rest of those slides now, please? Lynn added her version of that, but if ever you've had a pet and you've been feeling a bit off, I'm sure you'll be able to identify with some of these points. This is Megan. This is our manager who had the idea of having pets in a pet therapy, and she calls Elton my handsome man. And they get along very well. Thanks, Ken. A little child in the vision centre. This is where after Elton had got used to children. And I said to this little girl, she was standing behind her mother, I said, "Would you like to talk to the dog?" And she came straight across and I caught Mum's eye and I said, "Is it all right?" And she said, "Yes." And this wasn't long after Elton had first become comfortable with children.
Yes, please.
I was asked, a guy met me in the cafeteria and he said, look, my mum's very sick and she's in ICU. Would you go up and visit her? She's been in a car crash and we don't think she's going to live. This was a family photo that was taken and permission was given for us to use it if we were ever talking about the work of the therapy dogs in the hospital. So he went in and I picked up his lordship put him on the bed and eventually settled down and I spoke to the lady. She was semi-conscious, but she reached her hand, with a bit of assistance, reached her hand out and she just slightly moved her fingers in the hair of Elton's paw. And she stayed there for some minutes. That continued for some minutes and then Elton got restless. So I led him onto the floor, which is the next slide. This was one of the other sons. And he was sitting at the foot of the bed. Elton had been working with mother, who was not expected to live. He'd finished and he went straight round to the foot of the bed and he stayed with that young man for 20 minutes. Nobody said anything. I didn't give him a direction. It wasn't until I stepped away from the bed after talking to the husband that I knew where Elton was. And see, one of the beautiful things about dogs is they're so intuitive. And he picked up that young man was in a great state of distress. Thank you. Oh, go into offices and he gets mugged. And in that particular office, I'd walk in and the guy in the desk closest to the front door would ring up down the back and say, Elton's here, and hang up, and out they'd come. Yes, please. This is another admin group, and they love Elton to bits. And when I visited there, only a few weeks ago, I went in and the place was deserted. Not a sound. And I thought, this is unusual. Now, he knows his way around that office, so he started going into the offices looking for people. And before he found anyone, that tall lass on your left came racing out from the back. She said, I heard claws on the floor. Thank you. And the pain clinic. We went there just before Christmas and the staff got to enjoy Elf on the Shelf. You know the game Elf on the Shelf that they play in hospitals and nursing homes and so on, where someone goes into a room and sticks an elf on it and then it's up to people, there's an elf on the shelf. So he got two. He seemed to be reasonably happy, I think. Thank you. And at the end of the day, that's the way it goes. Some of you have commented about the fact that Elton and I have the same colour hair. We used to visit an old man who never said a word to us, well, barely, and I'd introduce myself and I'd say, I'm Malcolm and this is Elton. Elton has his name on the name tag too. I'm Malcolm, this is Elton, blah, 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 blah. And he would sit there if he was having some lunch or whatever he's doing. He wouldn't even turn his head and look. And I would go through this week after week after week until one day he turned to me and he said, you and that dog got the same colour hair. But there have been some beautiful, beautiful experiences. Early in our time in rehab, I was asked to go and visit a lady who'd had a stroke and she desperately missed her dog at home. And when I went to visit, her husband was sitting with her and she was able to talk with some difficulty, but she loved the fact that Elton had come in and visited her and we spent quite a bit of time there and I could see that she was starting to get a bit drowsy, so I said to the husband, looks like we'd better go, and he nodded and we walked out the door And we'd only gone a few steps from the door and this lady burst into tears. And the further I went away from her ward, the louder became her tears and her sobbing. I didn't go back. That just didn't seem the right thing to do. I had to leave her to be cared for by the appropriate people. But I kept going back and visiting week after week during her stay. And one day she was out in her chair in the common area, and she said, the first time she tried to say his name, and she said, Elton. And I see phenomenal milestones in people's lives over and over and over again. And some of you heard me tell the story of a speech therapist who asked me if I would bring Elton in to see a lady who was a stroke patient. She was sure the lady could speak, but she just jacked up and wouldn't speak. And she said, would you take Elton in and see if you get any response? And so we went in, and the lady was sitting up in bed, not looking side for side, not taking much notice, and I did the introductions, and she said, I like dogs. And her speech therapist had a breakthrough. Well, his nibs did. And rehabilitation. Her rehabilitation moved on from there. And the speech therapist had something to work with. I go into the medical library where there are medical students, and they fall all over him. They'll leave their study tables and nothing to have six or eight people around Elton. And I've even had messages saying, Malcolm, it's the medical library here. Some of the students have got such and such an exam this afternoon. Can you bring Elton up? And there's been more than one occasion where he's been asked to go to the medical library simply because students have had an examination. And many, many times people have just fallen all over him and talked to him and fussed about him, and they've said something like, oh, I really needed him today. And if something like that happens once in a shift of 2.5 to 3 hours, I reckon it's been a good day. But very often it's much, much more than that. In the last 12 months, we have been invited, well, all of the pet therapy people and other volunteers have been invited to go into ICU and intensive care and into the emergency department. Sometimes we front up at intensive care and we're told, not today, it's a madhouse, which you would understand. When we go into ED, we're not allowed to visit patients, we only visit staff. There can be some very distressed and sometimes dangerous situations in ED with patients, and we have the hospital security and we have the police security arm in there at the same time. And it can be a bit of a scary place to be. Recently we were asked to go into the psychiatric ward, and that was an invitation. I became second. Could Elton and Malcolm come into the psych ward? I'd just get to go along. And again, that's a situation in which patients can be a little distressed. And so there is a senior person accompanies us all the time. We're in the Margaret Tobin Centre. Now, this bloke has a little habit that he does, which you can't get him to do good on command, but especially if I haven't been around to Lynn's for a while, or he hasn't been around to our place for a while, he'll come and sit alongside me and he'll rest his snout in my hand. And after about 4 weeks, in the psychiatric ward, we were introduced to a man who, by his body language, his manner, everything about him, said, "I'm a very, very sick, frail man." And this bloke left me, went over, sat alongside him, and put his snout in his hand. You explain that? I can't. And of course, we have people who don't like dogs. I went into a common area one day, and there's people having their meal, and someone said, "Oh, Jack," or whatever his name is, "would you like to pat the dog?" "No. Dogs should not be in hospitals. They are dirty. I'm adamant about that. I am adamant about that." So he went and cuddled someone else. But that's an absolute rarity. But I find some staff, particularly women with an Asian background, who can be afraid of dogs, because where they come from, dogs roam the streets and a lot of them are quite dangerous. And so I have a little process that I've developed to work with these nurses. Some of them say, "Oh, no, that's all right, he's okay." "Of course he's okay, I want you to be okay." And so I take them through a process of feeling comfortable with a dog and patting him. And I say, "Look, he's sitting, he's left-handed, reach out and stroke his left paw." And he shakes hands. Then he'll lift his right paw. He's ambidextrous. Ambipaudrous, is that a word? The increase in demand for therapy dogs has just gone on and on and on. We now have them working in the Repat and in Noarlunga, which is part of the Southern Adelaide Health District. Look, I've got more notes than I can use today, but I've just got a couple of extra that I want to share with you. We were walking down a corridor one day and I met a guy, and dressed in ordinary everyday clothes and a stethoscope around his neck. And he walked straight up to me and he said, can I pat your dog, please?" And I said, "Yes." And he dropped on his knees, wrapped his arms around Elton and burst into tears. That guy was a doctor. And I had a question that I couldn't ask. "What sort of a day are you having at work?" We didn't talk. I just let him be. And when he'd finished, he got up and said thank you and left. And I don't think I've ever seen that man again. Elton loves going in to see the ladies in the telephone exchange. You know, if you ring Flinders, there's a lovely lady speaks to you where there are five people on duty at a time. And he goes in there and he goes around to each of these five ladies who are working on the phones and has a talk to them. Then we get in the koala lift. And if you know your way around Flinders, there's koala lifts and kangaroo lifts. Go into the koala lift and go down. And we got out of the lift and there was a young woman standing at the lift waiting to come in. And her eyes and mouth just went wide and she almost stumbled forward Elton went towards her and just grabbed her and burst into tears and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And another lady, obviously a friend, was standing nearby and she knelt down alongside this lady and Elton, and she was very soon in tears too. And people are coming and going to the lift, coming and going to the lift. And I thought, well, I've just got to stay here until they are comfortable to move on. And I got a thank you, which is fine. They didn't have to say anything. But they got up and got a thank you, and the second lady wrapped her arm around the first lady and escorted her quietly down the corridor. See, we visit a lot of people who are not patients. They're family, they're friends. And people say to me, who's he for? I say, everyone. I've had coppers come along and want to cuddle the dog. Tradies who want to cuddle the dog. And ambos. Lynn is an ambo. And she wears a green uniform. And when that bloke sees a green uniform, he's got to check it out. And when I go across the ambulance bay to work in oncology, he has to check out the ambulances just in case. Yes, he. And if I say, come on, mate, Tom, we've got to go down here. He pulls on the lead, I have not finished yet. So he expresses his will and his strength. Look, I better stop because this could go on, but I did want to know whether there's a few minutes. You know, afterwards you might like to ask Lynn or me questions, but does anyone have a question that's really burning you up that you'd like to ask either Lynn or me at the moment? Well, that went down well, didn't it, Lynn?
I have a new dog phrase. A mighty fortress is our dog.
Yes.
Malcolm McQueen, Julia Farr, female jockey had an accident at Moorfield, taking Julia Farr and really bad luck. One of the girls pulled a horse in, took it up to this girl, and doing very well.
Yes, did you hear that? A horse came into Julia Farr Centre with people with serious long-term illness and had been badly injured, and someone brought in a horse, and that was the turning point. And we have a miniature pony comes into rehab. I haven't seen the miniature pony. It's not much bigger than Elton, but it's this little pony, possibly bred by a friend of mine in the writing group in which I'm involved. And this little pony has boots on so it doesn't slip on the floor. And when I go up there and the pony's been in, people just talk and talk and talk. And they'll sit. I've seen people sit there cuddling Elton, talking about how wonderful the pony is. So, there we are. You've been given a sheet which gives you an introduction to the paintings that are here. And each one of them is a painting which is about an animal or a relationship between animal. You might connect with them either before or after you have your cuppa. You're welcome to come and have a look. They may trigger some thoughts for you about the place of animals in our lives. I've really run over time, but I hope I won't be punished too harshly for that. Thank you very much.
Nobody can disagree that Malcolm hasn't got away with words. Not got away, but got away with words. He sent me a message that said today's stories was going to be called Tales of a Therapy Dog. He's a clever bloke. He's a clever bloke. We're going to sing Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. We will have the benediction, and then we will sing the chorus of Comfort, Comfort as just a little epilogue. That can be our prayer for the people in Brisbane and New South Wales. And if you've got people who you know, and I know that there are people who have got friends, relations, buddies, pals in that area, that can be when you think of them specially. So we'll sing this, benediction, don't run away, sing Comfort, Comfort, and then you can go and get your cuppa, look at the amazing skills Work out which one you love best. I've got a special favourite. I'm not going to tell anybody who it is, but I have got a special favourite amongst all of these artworks.
Elton could, he'd say, God bless you. So I will say, the peace of the Lord be with you.